Father, we are thankful again today that you've given us another opportunity to stand before the people of God and to open and read from the book of life, lessons of life, lessons of following in faithfulness, lessons, Lord, that will lead us to our final destination at home with Christ Jesus forever. Thank you, God, again today that we have a reasonable portion of health and strength. Our eyes are focused on you. Our ears are open. Sir, we would see Jesus. And we would hear your voice above every voice. So God, speak to us in this moment. God, that we'll hear you. Your word declares that your sheep hear your voice. They know it. And will not respond to another. And so God, make us wise in our hearing, strong to the finish. Please, God, again, forgive us of our sins. As we cry, Lord, have mercy. And Lord, help me to help them so we can be helped together. And Lord, let there be no division. Let there be no contrary spirits, no conflict. But Lord, make us all together on one accord. The power of the Lord will be so evident in this place that the sick will be healed, lame would walk, the deaf would hear. God, that your miracles would be so evident. We'll be very careful, Lord, to give you all the praise and the glory. And Father, I pray that you would now use this opportunity for all of us, that we'll be drawn closer in the name of Jesus. And redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. Grab your Bibles. Matthew chapter 7. This is the second offering of the Revelation letter that we read to you on last Sunday from Revelation 20. And again, this is our second offering now. It's our leaping station from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7 at verse 21. The New Living Translation, I'm going to read from, and we'll be getting along quickly here. Matthew 7 at verse 21. Amen. As you fired up your tablets and smartphones and other devices, at verse 21, text says, not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. On judgment day, many will tell me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Go away. The things you did were unauthorized. Now again, I want to look at verse 21 and the latter portion of the verse where the Bible declares that the decisive issue is whether they obeyed my Father in heaven. Do me a favor. Again, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach. Here's where you messed up. And here's why you missed out. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I realized very quickly on last Sunday that I was not going to be the most popular preacher in Lynchburg, but I didn't think I would fail in popularity in my own church. I didn't realize that so many folk would not like me because I told the truth. But again, as I said to you on last Sunday, on the day that I walked into the Florida Department of Motor Vehicles, it was incumbent upon that agent to tell me where I made my mistakes. And because she was honest with me, on the next day, I was excellent. Please understand, beloved of God, my love for you is not simply because I want you to be my friend or because I want you to like me. But my love for you is because I want you to go to heaven. And I'll tell you now, Luther Palmer, if I don't love you that much, I don't love you at all. And so again, I realized on last Sunday, very shortly after I started preaching, that I was not the most popular preacher in Lynchburg, but tragically not even popular in my own church. But I figured I'd go on anyhow. And since I started something, I think I ought to finish it. I said last week that part of the reality for us is that we fail in four areas. And I was able to get you through two of those areas, and I promised you that I would get you through the next two as well. And here's the point, beloved of God, that the Bible says, as we read from the Revelation letter, that everybody had to stand before God. It didn't say that he sent an invitation and folk were afforded the opportunity to refuse him simply because those who knew they were in trouble probably would not have come anyhow. But he didn't give them that opportunity. So when John reveals the text to us, the Revelation letter comes to us, he said they're all here. No, nobody gets to skip this judgment. And again, I thought about it. Dr. Dixon on last Sunday, and I realized, what is that? I realized that the problem was an internal problem, but an internal problem doesn't have to become an eternal problem. And so what I'm trying to say is we don't need to be fooled any further. You know, Grandma was right. A simple notion simply says, that everybody talking about heaven ain't going. But let me help you along through here. Just because you ain't going or don't want to go don't mean you ain't going to have to appear before the judgment. You don't get to opt out. You see, and what we need to understand now and take into full consideration is God's going to say something about us. God's got something to say about us. And so when we ask ourselves, am I messing up? We need to know where we're messing up so we don't miss out. Because in fact, beloved of God, it is the will of God that everybody make it. Okay, y'all should have said amen. Because the Bible teaches us that he says, I would that no man or woman would perish, but that they would all come to saving grace and live with me forever in heaven. I mean, come on now, if you got an open invitation like that, you ought to take advantage of it. And so here it is. Now in Matthew 7, as a lifting point to the next few moments, Jesus says, please understand something. Not everybody who sounds religious ain't messing up. Yeah, not everybody who sounds religious got it made. Not everybody who sounds religious are really godly. So he said, well, you know, that's fine. And there are folk who know how to call my name and refer to me as Lord and Master and Savior. But the real issue, the determining factor is what my daddy says. Whether or not they have been, watch this now, obedient to my Father. Now here's where the gambit swings, because the Bible said that everybody is going to stand. Everybody's going to get the same judgment.
The rules are not going to change because you were ministers or deacons or trustees or whether you sing on choir. God's not going to say, well, you lived a horrible life, but you sure could sing. God's not going to look at us and say, well, you had a list of proclivities, but you were a preaching fool. No, the judgment will be the same. Jesus says that healthy things produce healthy things. In other words, good discipleship churches make good disciples. Unhealthy churches make unhealthy things. Poorly discipled churches can't make no disciples. And so God is going to hold us accountable to the obedient charge. Did we make more disciples? Were we faithful in the calling? And he says, if there's something wrong with you, fix it. Because if you don't fix it, you're going to hell. Doesn't matter how hard you say you tried, because there are a lot of folk that are going to say, you know, we say things like, I'm trying to make 100 because, you know, 99 and a half. But that half can be fixed. Listen, let me tell you something. This is easy right here, Lewis Davis. I'd rather be charged with fixing half than 99 and a half. It ought to be easy to fix a half. Y'all missed that. So he said, well, now the deciding factor is whether or not we have, one, surrendered and submitted to the authority that is God. You know what he's saying? You can't play church. You can't just come on Sunday and live any kind of way. You got to be obedient in all things. You know, like walk around and quote things like, well, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, the two go together. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm unpopular again. The two go together. So he reminds us, he says, well, when you come before the judgment, a lot of folk going to try to fool me. Mm-hmm. It's right in the text. He said a whole lot of folk going to stand there and try to tell me what they did in my name. Can I tell you something? Doing it in his name and not because he told you is disobedience. It amazes me, Luther Palmer, how people in the church want to do stuff in his name because it's convenient to what you want to do. But you don't want to do what he told you to do because it's inconvenient to what you want to do. I'm preaching like I want to now. Because the fact of the matter is, he said prophecy is fine. Casting out demons is fine. Miracles are fine. But that ain't what I asked you to do. So we want to choose the more convenient things in ministry. We want to sing on a choir, but we don't want to tithe. We want to usher, but we don't want to serve. We want to preach on our Sunday, but we don't want to support Bible study on Thursday. We want to go lay hands, and we want to be seen in outside ministry, but we ain't worth a crumb on the inside. He said, I know you're doing all that stuff, and that's fine. But that ain't what I told you. So we try to fool God by chopping down the tree we want to chop down, but not fertilizing the one he's trying to grow. Yeah. And so he says, well, I understand that. And so there it is. It comes down. As we said, you fail to present your first fruits. That was failure number one. And then the second failure was that you failed in your faithfulness to the Lord. That was number two. And number three, we were so glad to get there because he says, you failed to follow the Lord to the finish. And here it is, so we'll run along. John said, listen, you need to understand that when you keep your word, that's good. But you got to understand that following God, the abiding relationship, is best identified by the relationship of recognition in Christ Jesus. What do you say, Pastor? It's one thing to say you're with him, but it's another thing to be with him. Oh, okay, you missed it. John said, you can't say that you are with him and your life is counter to everything that he's about. You can't say that you're abiding in the truth and lie. You can't say that you're a servant and don't serve. You can't say you're a giver and don't give. You can't say you're a worshiper and don't worship. You can't say you're a praiser and don't praise, because if you abide in him, you are just like him. You fail to follow to the finish. You liked it when you liked it. And then when you stopped liking it, you just didn't like it. As I said last week, part of the problem is you can't pick and choose your area of faithfulness. Can I preach on and stay unpopular a few more minutes? I sit here on Friday and went over the financials from the revival. I started with leaders. And we pick and choose whether or not we want to do what we ask all the leaders to do. You can't be faithful sometime. Then I followed into the fellowship of the saints. And even the saints. So I said, well, before you can pick and choose your area of faithfulness, you need to make sure you pick who to be faithful to. Oh, it's quiet again. I must be preaching good. He can't let us get in like that. Why? Because those who are faithful are going to say, wait a minute, God. You can't do that. That makes you unfaithful, because you said this is how you would do it. And so we lived our lives based on the high standard that you said you'd keep. Now we're looking around and a bunch of ne'er-do-wells are getting in. How many know that when folk get in about a lower standard, it diminishes being there? So he said, listen, John said, listen, whoever keeps his word. Now that's obedience. Watch this now. John says those people are identified as true lovers of God. But here's the part I like, Dr. Dixon. John says those who keep their word are identified as true lovers of God. But he said that because of you keeping your word and being a lover, God is perfected in you. Oh, I like that. I like that, because what John says is an encouragement for me to keep the standard. Here's our problem. We don't worry about God being perfected in us. We're already perfect in ourselves. What'd you say, Pastor? That's the problem. You can justify your ill behavior and justify your in and out attitude and justify your faithfulness and unfaithfulness. And so you're not concerned about God being perfected in you, because you done took up all the space. Ain't no room for God to work in you. You're too busy bragging about yourself. You're like that Pharisee who stood there and said, well, I'm not like him. See, you can identify the fact that you got your warm buns on a pew, and then you look down and say, well, at least I'm here. She ain't. No. That's not the standard. That's sophomoric and selfish. The standard is God. So John said, if you're really going to keep the word, that's faithfulness and obedience, and you truly love God, that's faithfulness and obedience, he'll be perfected in you. You'll be better. Look at your name and say, better. That's a good thing. But this is what he said. He said, now this is how we know. How are we going to know? He said, we'll know because you abide to the finish. Got a whole lot of folk started out a long time ago, and there's no doubt in my mind. No. You might have started, but can you finish? You started out a long time ago, and there's no doubt in your mind. But can you finish? Look how you're looking at me. I'm going to start wearing sunglasses so I can't see y'all faces. Here it is. Listen. Jesus looks at this discipleship thing and says to them, I'm going to have to tell you the truth. I don't know you. You didn't finish. A lot of people start good. Jesus gives us an illustration of Reverend Uriel. He says, you know, you would be likened to the man who built all of these barns. That was selfish. Not one of those barns were built to the glory of God. They were built so he could have income and wealth. And he realized that if I got more harvest, I need more space.
But if you ain't got more God, all you got in space will be nothing.
See, a whole lot of us don't shout long through that. We don't wave at that kind of preaching. We rebuke that preaching because the pastor is lying. He just mean-spirited. He don't know what I know. The Lord told me. The Lord don't lie. The same thing the Lord tells Annie Davis, he going to tell Leroy Mitchell. The same thing he tells Walter, he going to tell Peggy. That's just how it works in the body of Christ. And so what John says and what Jesus says and what you need to hear is that if you're going to walk with me, you got to be faithful to the finish. Anybody, let me tell you something. If any part of your testimony starts with these words, I used to, you have failed. I used to sing. I used to preach. I used to do. I used to go to Bible study. And then if any part of your testimony includes this conjunction, but you got another problem. I used to sing, but. I used to tithe, but. I used to go every Thursday, but. You got a problem. Because here's where you're messing up. And here's why you're going to miss out. He says, you got to finish. Talking about 99 and a half. You can't do short nor long math and come up with a better answer than Jesus. Sing, give me that old time religion. He said, well, the problem is, you got to decide whether you're going to leave or stay. Jesus looks at the disciples. I mean, it's been a bad Sunday for him. You know, he's standing out there in that cornfield or wherever they were at a particular time. And because Jesus preaches a hard sermon that day. Y'all remember the sermon he preached, eat of my flesh, drink. And Jesus, much like me, was probably standing there with his sunglasses on and then turned around and said, are you going to leave also? You know what I like about that statement, Deacon McKenzie? It almost sounds to me as if Jesus was saying, if you're going to go, get going. I mean, it almost sounds like that theologically. It almost sounds, he doesn't say, oh, please tell me y'all ain't going to go. He just says, are you going to leave also? You do know there's a good time to get going. Jesus says, are you going? Are you going to leave me now? Because I said something that didn't make you shout or didn't make you. Listen, can I put this in here very quickly? I know y'all going to go home in a few minutes, but can I put this in here very quickly? We don't come to church to have a good time. Ain't a verse in scripture that says nothing about we supposed to come in and have a good old time. Y'all don't like me now. We don't come to church for the entertainment value. Woo, child, we were getting off in church Sunday. Listen. I don't want to be in no church where we blowing whistles and twirling kazoos and pick out. You know, I don't know. I like worship accompaniment, but if all we coming for is to feel good and enjoy ourselves, who are we fooling? You think Jesus was up on the cross going, ooh, this is chilling here. He died. And we're so busy having a good time, we don't even see the blood streaming down. We don't see the thorn on his head. We don't see the pain. We too busy enjoying ourselves. We got chandeliers in our churches, stained glass windows. We got climate control. And all on our way to hell. Because won't nobody tell us where we messed up. I want a preacher that helped me get down. I want a preacher that's going to help me get in. Ain't nobody help me get out. I want to get in. He says, well, are you going to leave? And let me help you understand something. No departure disturbs the Lord. Reverend Holly said something the other day, and I agreed with him. You think you holding up the church, then leave. It ain't going to fall down because you leave. You ain't first deacon that walked out. You ain't the first preacher that left. You ain't the only one put a few dollars in the church. Problem around here, too many people put a few dollars in church. Amen. He said, listen, I recognize who's going to make it before we started. The Lord knew. The Lord said, I knew who was going to be faithful before we started. But I opened up and offered an opportunity for others to get in. That's why we kept preaching the gospel. That's why the Bible says, until this gospel is preached everywhere, I won't call it to accountability. I won't shut down the door. I won't lock it out until everybody has an opportunity to make up their mind. Let me tell you what happens, beloved of God. When you don't stay focused, you fall behind. Okay. John says, if you're going to finish, the key to a good finish is faithful fellowship. That's good preaching. Say it again, Leroy. The key to a good finish is faithful fellowship. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if you walk with him, you end up where he is. You don't have to fabricate worship and faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God has nothing to do with the songs that we sing. It's the walk. It's the walk that matters. He says, come follow me. How can you forget that? What part of Jesus saying, come follow me, did you think he canceled because you built a bigger church? Or because you got more folks sitting on a Sunday? That's the other problem with the church. We got too many folks sitting on Sunday and doing nothing on Monday. Oh, Doc, we seating about 1,200 on Sunday. Yeah, sitting, sleeping, and stupid. That's what's happening to the church. We all just chilling. Got our spot. We've gone to putting our family names on our pews and naming the windows so when we look outside at the world. But when we look out, we see one thing. What do they see when they look in? Because the view ain't the same. The faithfulness. The key, I'm not finished, you'll be gone here in a minute. The key is that if you walk with him, you end up where he is. Too many of us are falling behind. We started out with the Lord. We didn't have the nerve to make it our testimony. I've been with the Lord since I was 8 years old. Well, occasional visitations don't count. I mean, look around. Next Sunday, come back and look again. It's fifth Sunday next Sunday, ain't it? Huh? Next Sunday is fifth Sunday. What Sunday is this? Thank you. So next Sunday, the fifth Sunday, the 31st. Y'all need to know how to do the month thing. Look, January, February, March. All the months with humps have 31 days in them. Come back next Sunday and see what it, you think this looks funny. Come back on fifth Sunday. It's a ghost town in the Lord's house because it's fifth Sunday. How do you decide that fifth Sunday is one too many? That's fifth Sunday. The first church I pastored, let me get in trouble here. First church I pastored, The deacons told me, Reverend, we don't have service on fifth Sunday. I said, why? Well, you know, fifth Sunday we go visit other churches. How about we eliminate visiting other churches by coming to our own church? Well, Reverend, we've been doing it for years. I said, well, that don't make it right. Just like when I first came, they were meeting every other Sunday. Trying to tell me that the Sunday they didn't meet, they went to Sunday School Union. I said, well, let me ask you, what is Sunday School Union? Well, Sunday School Union, we all come together and somebody do Sunday School, and then we go home. I said, would it not be better if we actually had a worship service? So I went to the president of the association. I know I'm off track a minute here, but I went to the president of the association who had the Sunday school union superintendent. The Sunday school union superintendent was a drunk and a whoremonger. Everybody knew it. This man didn't even go to church on regular Sundays because he was a superintendent. That was his church. And he told me, "You messing up a good thing, Reverend. You young preachers come along here trying to change things." I said, "Well, brother superintendent, how is it that y'all have superintendent Sunday, church school union on every other Sunday, second and fourth, but y'all don't go to church on every Sunday?" The union belongs to the people. And I got him right there, Sister Davis. I said, "But the people belong to God." He called me a whippersnapper. Which at my age now, nobody will probably call me that anymore, but I enjoyed it. I said, "Well, Poplar Lawn will no longer be a part of the Sunday school union. We will be having worship services 52 Sundays a year." We did. And the Lord blessed us. We grew in faithfulness. So the key is, are you going to finish where he finished? Because you started where he started. Jesus says, "Are you going to leave?" You won't be the first to do it, but you need to be determined to finish what he started. Here it is. Bible says, "He who began a great work in you." I feel my help coming. You can't start without him. Why would you try to finish without him? The Lord started something in us. And how dare we fail to follow the Lord to the finish. This is not Dr. Dickerson's ministry. This is not Reverend Muriel's church. This is not pastor's thing. This is the Lord's. This belongs to him. He is the sole proprietor. He's the head. Ain't nobody trying to get his spot. I know one thing about the Lord. Anybody in his spot get moved. He don't move clean. He cuts. And so he says, "Well, please understand," he says, you gotta commit your way and walk in the Lord. And then he says this, as we come to the turning point, he said, "Listen, the greatest tragedy is not in the fact that you failed to produce your first fruits." That's a bad one. "The second tragedy is in fact that you failed in your faithfulness to the Lord." That's a bad one. The third tragedy is equally as bad as the first two, and certainly bears its own substance when he says, "You have failed to follow the Lord to the finish." But the last thing, as I said to you last week in the attraction to come, is that you let the fire go out. That's where the tragedy is. The greatest tragedy and the most regrettable reason we're going to miss out, Deacon Campbell, is because we let the fire go out. Sitting here on Tuesday, God bless you all if you came on Tuesday. And Wednesday, the climate system was not working properly. It was a little warm in here, and that's as warm as some folk been in a long time. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that many of them have not experienced the fire of the Lord. A whole lot of us have been coming to church, and we've no longer come to church, as Jesus says, not for the mere fact of religiosity, but the relationship and the rigors of keeping the fire burning. The Lord himself said, "Listen, you got to understand, and the Levitical law requires, the Bible says," look at your name and say, the Bible says in the Levitical law that our responsibility is that we keep the fire burning. He says to the priest, he said, "Listen, there are a lot of things that are going to happen in the life of the church." And I know they didn't have the church in the Levitical law at that particular time, but it is a precursor of the thing that which is to come and the thing that we have now. He said, "But listen, in light of all the things," if you read Leviticus 6, you'll see it. He said, "In light of all of the things that are happening," the text then switches by saying, "But meanwhile, you need to understand something, that it is important to God that the fire not go out."
He said, you got to understand that when you quench the Holy Spirit, you're putting out the fire. When you don't stir up your gifts, you're putting out the fire. When you don't serve the Lord with gladness, you're putting out the fire. When you don't worship him in spirit and in truth, you're putting out the fire. When you don't bring tithe and offering, you're putting out the fire. When you don't love your neighbor, you're putting out the fire. When you lie and cheat and treat each other bad, you're putting out the fire. When you pick and choose your Sunday to serve, you're putting out the fire. When you roll your eyes and suck your teeth together because the sermon affects you, you're putting out the fire. And what he says is, for God's sake, don't let the fire go out.
You got to understand, beloved of God, and I pray you'll understand that he requires, he said, listen, each and every morning add fresh wood to the fire. And in other words, beloved of God, for us who are the priests of this time, we got to make sure we keep adding fresh wood to the fire. Can't keep sitting around here talking about what used to be in good old Brookville Baptist and what we used to do under Reverend Spear and what we did with Philip Elliott and what we did when Hall was here. That's old wood. It's time now to put fresh wood on the fire. And the fresh wood of our lives is discipleship wood. It's discipline wood. It's determination wood. It's devotion wood. It's dedication wood. It's discipleship wood. Because if in fact the fire will burn, it requires fresh wood. You can't live off kindling for the rest of your life. You can't live off the embers for the rest of your life. It's all of our responsibility to stoke that fire. Bring in fresh wood. Those of you who grew up in a time when we didn't have furnace and stove type heat was required, you knew that somebody had to go get the wood. Each and every evening before the cold, the elements would change. We were required to go. Sister Scott, where you at? Right there you are. Sister Sandra, there you are. Pat Price, there you are. We were required to go fetch wood. And a good fetch required that you didn't bring in no twigs. Good fetch required that you brought in a good, stocky piece of wood. Because you knew that if you brought in twigs, soon the fire would go out. When you brought in wood, we didn't bring in wood one at a time. Everybody who had a back, legs, and arms had to go get wood. You didn't look around in the middle of the night when the fire go out. It's too late to be casting blame about who didn't bring in no wood. Because if you know like I know, if the fire goes out, I'm going to be cold, then I'm going to do something to make sure the fire don't go out. If I have to bring in wood and carve my initials in it to say this is my log, that fire will not go out. What I'm saying to you, church, beloved of God, the text requires of us that we might keep our names scribed into the book of life. What the text requires is also that we might do all that within our diligence and duty to keep our names scribed into the book of life. And so what the Lord says to us is, listen, each and every day you got to bring in fresh wood. That's why we have church every Sunday. That's why, Aaron, we have Bible studies on Thursday. Because what we're required to do is to arrange and align the fire. In other words, he said, make sure that when you bring it in, you don't just toss anything up there. Anybody who knows anything about fire knows that you got to put them logs in there a certain way. You got to make sure that the logs themselves don't smother out the fire. Yeah, you got to make sure you don't bring damp wood to the fire. Yes, you cannot bring wood that is totally dried out, but you got to make sure you bring wood that's conducive to a good burn. In other words, beloved of God, there are too many wet blankets in the church. There are too many dried out saints in the church, and too many of us are hopping from one place to the other in the church. We got to learn how to get aligned and arrange so we can burn a good fire. Pastor, what are you saying? Well, what I'm saying is there are some folk that burn more readily than others. And so what we need to do is get the hot folk to the front and get the hot folk to the back so that we can squeeze the middle folk and make a good fire.
God. You got to learn how to stop trying to sit in your comfortable zones in the church and sit not to be comfortable, but sit to be more conducive. You got to learn how to spread your joy where folk don't have no joy. You got to learn how to spread your love where folk don't have no love. In other words, those of you who burn more readily have got to learn how to set your fire and keep your fire burning, because there are some folk that are trying to put the fire out, but look at your neighbor and say, the devil is a liar. I've come to burn, baby, burn. Disco inferno. I've come to tear this sucker down, because the devil is a liar and the devil can't stand fire. The devil don't like fire, because fire represents power, and power from God is the best thing we ever had. We don't need just people, but we need people who have power. We don't need another crowd, no, we need a consecrated effort of those who have signed their name, those who have their hand in the wine and chain. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've come too far and I'm way too old to be playing church. Ain't got time for no okie doke. I've come to sign my name. I've come to walk the walk and talk the talk. I've made up my mind and my heart is fixed. I promise him that I would serve him till I die. I got my mind made up. I got my heart fixed. I've decided to make Jesus my choice. And because I chose him, I'm going to fight my way. I'm going to praise my way. I'm going to serve my way. And every breath I take, every move I make, I'm going to lift him higher. Anybody want to take him higher? Anybody want to serve him? Anybody change their mind and have decided, come what will, come what may, I'm going to stay right here. They can come and they can go. They can talk about my pastor. They can criticize my church. But I made up my mind. For God I live, and for God I'll die. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't let the fire go out. Stir it up. Shake it up. Stoke it up. Don't let the fire go out. We need more fire. Look toward heaven and say, Father, send us fire. Send us fire. Send us fire. Send us fire. Don't let the fire go out. He said, on the altar, it's got to burn all the time. He said, you can't let the fire go out. You can't burn fire because you feel like it. You burn fire because you're faithful. You burn fire because you're following. You burn fire because you're first fruits. Make a good fire. Look at the name of your neighbor. Put that twig down. That twig of offerings. That twig of sometime attendance. That twig of sometime fellowship. Put that twig down. Build a fire. Takes good wood. Make a good fire. And the Lord said, when you build a fire, you got to burn the fat. Fat makes the fire burn better. Look at the name of your neighbor. You look like you got a little fat there. Put it on the altar. Make that fire pop. You know, a good fire starts to popping. A little crackling in the fire. Not no complaining and crying and criticizing, but a little crackling in the fire. Nudge your neighbor and say, we need more crackling in the fire. All that crying and criticizing and all of that foolishness. We don't need that in the fire. So what burns the fire? We're going home. But he said that there are four areas we need to be very careful of in the fire. Y'all stand or stay, whatever you want to do. First thing that helps your fire is word. Word brings a good fire. Psalm writer said, thy word I've hidden in my heart so I can make a good fire.
Second thing, just that burns a good fire is a good walk. Yeah. See, when you walk, you go get the wood, and when you walk, you bring back the wood, and then you can walk and have a good fire. Yeah. See, some of us, our walk a little shaky. You walk different when you're carrying fire than you walk when you ain't got no fire. The word is fire. The third thing, Sister Davis, Mama Davis, that makes a good fire is to be a witness. You can always tell folk that have been around fire. They smell like smoke. That's bonus right there. That's just as free as they can get. You can always tell folk been around a good fire. Smell like smoke. Now, don't let your neighbor see you do it, but get a little whiff. Just crook your neck in a sly way. You don't smell no smoke on your pew. Ain't no fire. Ain't no such thing as a smokeless fire. You know, some of y'all, God bless you, if you're struggling with trying to stop smoking, they got these new e-cigarettes, you know, them vaporless and all that stuff. Them things make that old funny color. There ain't no smoke there. Grandma used to tell us all the time, y'all been smoking. I smell it on you, yeah. You can't hide a good smoke. No, Grandma said, and you been smoking them funny cigarettes. I know the smell when I smell it. Grandma said she may not have smoked it, but she know what it smelled like. And see, the church, our witness ought to show some signs. Then fourthly, just another way of understanding the word and the walking our witness, it's in our worship. It's in our worship, Sheila. You know, a little while ago when I first stood up and started preaching, a whole lot of folk wasn't worshiping. Some of them had folded arms, trying to look at me all dignified, like they just graduated from Sweetbriar, cum laude, and all that kind of stuff. You know, like you just came out the top of your class. You too refined to worship. And worship is beneath you. Listen, the Bible says that the Lord looks for worshipers. I have a problem with folk who come to church to catch up on their Twitter accounts, catch up on their email and text and all that kind of stuff. You can't look at me. You too busy looking at your device. And I know when you're doing your finger like this, you sliding through stuff. And you doing all this here. I'm up here. Bible said you got to keep your eyes on him. Now, not me, but the Lord. Our worship tells on us. Sitting here with your arms all folded up, looking around at that. You ain't worshiping. You signifying. You high side. Being nosy. Our worship is fire. I'm not saying you need to fake it. I'm saying, you know, you ought to be able to praise the Lord. Yeah. Our worship ought to have fire. Now, why? Why is that critical? Why? What does fire have to do with it? I'm glad you asked, and you can go on about your business. Three reasons in particular, and I could have probably made nine, but I made three. Three reasons why. The Lord said, don't let this fire go out. And they're beneficial to you. Tell your neighbor, this is a benefit to us. Here it is. Now, if you're sitting by somebody you can't say that much to, no smoke, no witness, no... Okay. Here's why, Dr. Dixon. One, fire represents the presence of God. That's why you want fire. That's why the Lord said, don't let it go out. Remember the pillar and the cloud. They represented that God was with them. They got up in the morning looking for that cloud. Yes. And then now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. They saw that pillar. Fire represents. Listen, any church that doesn't have fire doesn't have the presence of God. You can't let the fire go out. Second thing is, this is good, Adrian. This is critical. Not only does fire represent the presence of God. I like this. Fire represents the promise kept by God. The Lord said, I'm with you. How do you know? Because the fire's still burning.
Bible says when the presence of the Lord was gone, it was bad. No promises. No presence. No promise. So we need fire because it reminds us that God is keeping his promises. And then thirdly, Deacon Davis, this is a free one, easy ride here. It represents the presence of God, the promises kept of God, but it represents the unlimited power of God. Well, I was going to be preaching good when I got right there. But y'all wasn't happy with me. The promises, the power. He said, listen, I am the Lord. Nothing is impossible for me. And because I love you, nothing is impossible for you. Why? Because you have my presence, you have my promise, and you have my power. You stop walking around here talking about I can do all things through Christ and ain't doing nothing.
You know why our church is stuck? Because we choose to be stuck. You know, I talk about some things and I lose some friends every time. But this is about the Lord's business. You can't fail to present your first fruits and keep asking God to bless you indeed. You can't be faithless and want him to be faithful. And you can't fail to finish when he who begun a great work in you has already promised to carry it to the day of completion in Christ Jesus. And Maxine, I didn't see one verse in there that said except Greater Brookville or except Lewis Davis or except Darren McKenzie or except Adrian Brody, except Jasmine. He didn't say that. He said, listen, this is the promise of God to everyone who believes. Let me tell you something. You stop shaking your fist at me for hard preaching, and you better shake your fist at yourself for unbelief. Because I ain't running for no office. I'm running to get home. That's all that matters to me. I get home. I don't care if you don't like me. I want to get home. And when I get home, I'm going to stay home. We have the presence of God. Don't let the fire go out. Stop having bad attitudes around here. All this division and debate. All of these diversions and tactics and jockeying. The Lord is with us. We don't need to repeat a Ichabod. I'll never forget. I'm going to let y'all go home. I know y'all ready to go. My father was a merchant seaman, and I love my daddy. My daddy was my hero early on in my life, big man at the time. I got up one morning, and as per usual, when I was, you know, that age in particular, you know, I'd always run down the hall. We were poor, and I didn't know it. We didn't have much. We lived upstairs, and somebody else lived down. You know, whenever you live on top of somebody else, but no. That's a good sign that things are not really in your favor. We had two bedrooms and three kids. We slept. My brother and I had a bunk bed. My sister had a little bed, you know. But my thing was, I loved my daddy. So in the mornings, on particular Saturdays and Sundays, when I got up, I'd run down the hall and make that right turn. And a lot of times I got in trouble because I didn't knock. You know, it took me a while to learn that knock at the door closed thing. Took me a little while, but I jump up. My mom and dad, you know, back in the day when beds were like this high off the ground, and the moon called, you know, so I would run and jump up on the bed and hug my daddy. And he said, boy, if you don't get out of here, that's how, you know, he never said, I love you, thank you for coming back. Boy, if you don't get out of here. But one particular morning, Reverend Muriel, I jumped up, ran down the hall, and he was gone. I looked at my mama and said, where daddy? She said, boy, your daddy gone back overseas. Now, when you about 7 years old, overseas is a way, 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 way far, far away land to which people may not come back. You know, whenever people leave, you don't know if they come. And I didn't like that. He was gone a long time. You know, Merton Seaman, you'd be gone a long time. And I thought my life was over because I was separated from my father. Nothing else would do. Mama said things like, baby, I'm here. Oh, I cried till I couldn't cry no more. I cried and cried. And then, you know how you cry so much you get a whooping for crying? I got about two or three of those because I wouldn't stop. So they took me down to my grandmother's house. And and Mama said, boy, I'm about to say, and I got to my grandma. I said, what is wrong with you, child? And Mama said, Sammy gone, and he been crying like that all day long. Grandma said, come here, baby. You know, your grandma said, come here, baby. You can expect to get a little powder on your face. You know, because they used to put that powder up there, you know. And go back to that. She said, now look here. You're going to be all right. Everybody's here. She said, you got your uncles and you got your granddaddy. And I let her talk. I said, but that ain't my daddy. She said, well, if you're going to cry, go on over there and cry then. But I didn't want to be separate. How many know that ain't nothing like the Father? Nothing else would do. I don't care how many times Mama, when you're crying up, they start giving you stuff to try to fool you. You know, they let you drink an extra grape soda and all that kind of stuff. But nothing is like the Father. And so I needed the presence because I knew that my Father was my provider. I knew that my Father kept his promises. Every now and then at night, I'd have a nightmare, and Daddy would come standing in the door and say, it's all right, boy. What's going on in here? I said, there's something under the bed. My daddy would literally lift the whole bed. I said, you see anything under there? No, sir. And they would get under that bed and shut up. I'd get back in the bed and slept good. We repeated that almost every night. But he'd always come and lift that bed. Anything? And then sometimes he said, if you come back, call me. Why? Because he's my protection. He said, nothing is bigger than me. And then I realized he had power. Daddy would make things happen. Don't let the fire go out. And don't keep messing up. Because you don't have to miss out. The Lord said, I want you to make it home. Would you stand on your feet with me today? We're going to let you go today. Here's what we need to do. I need every one of you to hear me well. Again, I said, I'm not running for office. Now, Dixon, please explain this to some of them in the parking lot. When I say this, I don't mean it like it might sound, but I could care less about being popular. I don't care. I love y'all. I love you. But I love you because I want you to make it home. And I'm not trying to sway you just to have you in Brookville. I mean, we're missing enough folk. That's something we can work on, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know what the answer to that because we've tried some of everything. But if you're going to stay, I want you to stay because you're staying with the Lord. And I want you to know that you shouldn't leave because you need to stay with the Lord. And so what I'm getting ready to tell you, I just said it to you over the course of two Sundays, but let me say this as a refresher and a departure. All of you need to present your first fruits to the Lord. And it shouldn't have to be something where we're trying to come up with a marketing scheme or some effort. You know, we shouldn't have to write you a letter to remind you about presenting your first fruits to the Lord. Secondly, all of us need to look at our faithfulness and make sure that we're faithful.
John says the reality is, if indeed we are going to abide with the Lord, we'll be perfected because we're abiding. But it takes faithfulness. In order to change our fortunes, in order to change our final destiny, we've got to make sure that we've been found faithful. Here's what the word said: be thou faithful even unto death. So you need to make sure you're faithful. This has nothing to do with being a friend of the pastor or serving in the church. Third thing is understand that we need to follow the Lord and follow him to the finish. None of your testimonies should ever include this statement: I used to. I used to be in the choir. I used to go every Sunday. I used to give. I used to. No. He who begun a great work in you is going to carry. God's going to do this thing for us. The interesting part of that text says that we are actually relieved the responsibility of the burden of carrying the yoke. And the Lord himself backs it up by saying, listen, take my yoke because it's easy. And I'll give you rest. I'll relieve you of the responsibility of being encumbered. I'll carry it. But while I'm carrying it, you stick with me. I didn't carry it so you can sit down. I carried it so you could walk easier. And then understand me. Can't let the fire go out. You got to keep that fire. Every day of your life, you got to throw another log on that fire. When you get up in the morning in your meditation and devotions, that's a log. How you treat your husband, your wife, your sons, your daughters, your pastor, your deacons, your ministers, the family of faith. Throw those logs. The log of love, the log of fellowship, the log of worship, the log of praise. Those logs are your responsibility to not let that fire go out. In your homes, you should have an altar, a place for God, a place where you and God can spend time, quality time together. Because true worship does not start when you hit the top step of the church. True worship never stops. It's just that when we all get together, there's a different level of worship. That's why the Bible says in heaven, the angels are constantly keeping the fire burning, crying, holy, holy. See, and if you keep crying, holy, 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 that keeps a lot of hell, hell, hell out of your mouth and out of your spirit and out of your hands and out of your feet and out of your eyes, because you can't cry holy, holy, holy and hell, hell, hell at the same time with the same breath, with the same fever and the same intensity, because God is not mocked. You can't play church and end up in heaven. Here's where you messed up. And here's where you'll miss out. Don't let the fire go out. Stop being so temperamental and finicky. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep the log of fire burning. Keep your faith. The Bible says that many walked with him and walked no more. They let the fire go. And can I tell you something? When the Bible says these words, please know that they are true. Night is coming. And you won't be able to gather no wood. You won't be able to gather. You won't be able to reap. You won't be, because night has fallen. Some of you who grew up in the country know what it's like. When dark comes and you got to go outside, you tripping and falling over stuff. We didn't have no floodlights to turn on in the backyard, and very few flashlights existed. So we did all we did when, while we had light. Because when dark came, no more work. Many a man and woman have stubbed their toe, cracked their ankle. God help you if you hit that shin, trying to maneuver in the dark. You can always tell when somebody in the dark hits something because it's loud.
Somebody in the house go, uh-oh, he done run into something. You can't camouflage that. You don't get to go, oh. You let it know that you done hit something. And it's always somebody else's fault. Who put this tree here? Are you serious? That tree been there 100 years. So here's what you need to do. Change. The whole point of the message is that you change. When you didn't present your first fruits, start presenting your first fruits. Where you weren't faithful, become faithful. Where you weren't following to the finish, determine that you're going to follow to the finish, and then don't let the fire go out. I'm convinced of God, Reverend Muriel, Dr. Dixon, deacons, if ain't nobody here but us, the leaders, we can make a good fire. If ain't nobody here but the trustees and the deacons, we can make a good fire. If ain't nobody here but the choir and the musicians, we can make a good fire. So don't worry about who don't show up. We here. Let's make a good fire. It's on us. Till the Lord shall send such as the Lord will send. Let's set it off. That's what the Lord requires. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ, if you've not presented your first fruits, if you haven't been faithful, if you're not following, and you don't know the fire's burning and you know that you have a responsibility, if we've stirred your heart in any way at all, just to say, you know what, Pastor, you came by my street today. You came by again because last Sunday you cornered me. And I was really hoping you didn't do part two today. But I'm telling you this afternoon that if you're here today and you still yet live, and you do live, I see you. You're alive. You may not be in the best shape of your life, but you're still alive. So if in fact today, four concerns that we presented to you, if any one of those mean anything to you, I want to pray with you that you change. This is not, since I know, looks like this is all us anyway, so it may not be any visitors today, may not be any unsaved, as the world might call it unsaved. I'm not going to tell you about your salvation. You have to answer that for yourself. But what I will say is I know that the four things I talked about between last Sunday and this Sunday exist in this church, and I'm calling you out today. I'm calling you out because of your first fruit failures. I'm calling you out because of your unfaithfulness. I'm calling you out because you're not following. And if you ain't following, you won't finish. And I'm calling you out because the fire is gone out. So I want to pray with you. I want to come and I want to touch and agree with you, each and every one of you as you come. Come on, don't let me start saying who you are, because I know the areas of your life that I'm concerned with. I know who I've determined are not presenting their first fruits. I look at every financial report in this church. I looked at these pews every night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Thank you, my friend, for your faithfulness. I looked out and I saw the lack of faithfulness. I looked out and I saw first fruits not being presented. I saw folk not following. So don't stand there. Don't look at me going, I'm not going to be the first one. You're not. Deacon Anderson came first. And notice I'm not judging or badgering. I shook his hand just like I said I would. Thank you, Sister Mitchell. God bless you. That God would touch us today. And four things, four convictions that would cry for corrections. Thank you, Luther Palmer. God bless you. All I'm saying is I want to touch and agree with you that God will change you. Thank you, Starling. God bless you. Thank you, Lewis. God bless you. That's all I'm saying. We're going to go home. Whether, thank you, Susan. God bless you. Thank you, Candace. God bless you. Thank you, Adrian. God bless you. Don't you want God to change you? I mean, come on. How hard is it? Thank you, Sister Carrie. God bless you. Susan, God bless you. Lucille, God bless you. Pat Price, God bless you. Ozelia Brogan, God bless you. See, I'm calling your name because your name got to get in the book. Jasmine, God bless you. Aaron, God bless you. Mother Davis, God bless you. Sheila, God bless you. Crystal, God bless you. Sister Sandra, God bless you. Audrey, God bless you. Sister Amanda, God bless you. God bless you, sir. Sister Fuqua, God bless you. God bless you, dear. Reverend Muriel, God bless you. Got to remind me, what's your name again? I'm sorry. Clara, God bless you. I was close. I was going to say Cynthia, but that ain't your name. God bless you, Sister Henrietta. God bless you, Raven.
Dr. Dickerson, God bless you. Come on. I want the Lord's name. I want your name to be in the book. Madeline, God bless you. Tamika, God bless you. What's your name, Makai? God bless you. Sean, God bless you. Jennifer, my friend, God bless you. God bless you, Deacon Campbell. What's your name again, baby? I can't remember. I'm sorry. Lanaya, God bless you. Lanaya. Zanaya. You'll have to learn not to embarrass the pastor. No, Zanaya, God bless you. Richburg 1 and Richburg 2, God bless you. Elizabeth, God bless you. I can't never remember them babies. Cedric, God bless you. This is a special blessing. That's my son. God bless you. Sister Jess, God bless you. Amen. I'm coming. God bless you, Carolyn. Maxine, God bless you. Darren, come on, God bless. I just want God to do something in everybody's life. So even though you didn't come, I'm coming to you. God bless you, Sister Woodson. God bless you, Sister Hayes. Rudy Beverly, God bless you. Tom Butterfield, God bless you. These are my friends. Let me tell you why it's important, because a house divided will not stand. And so we're going to cover the whole house. Because what I want for you, even though you may not want it for yourself, Linda, God bless you. It's better for you to have it than to go without it. And so what I won't let coming through, God bless you, Raven. Did I get you, Raven? Sister Davis, number two, amen. Annie Davis, God bless you. Let me tell you something. Never fear, excuse me, sweethearts. Never fear the blessing of God. You know, I said something the other Sunday, Deacon Anderson, and I want y'all to know, I'll say it again. I know some of y'all think y'all know my story. And I've had people say to me, that man can't do nothing for me. I don't want, you wrong. You know, God puts gifts in fragile containers. Y'all missed a shout right there. Because see, ain't none of us really perfect at all. But what John says is that it's going to be perfected in us. I trust that God can take a rusty nail and put it in his son's hand and save a world. So you think I'm going to turn down a blessing? I want it for you. I want it for us. You stop listening to distractors. Stop listening to people talking crazy about your ministry and your ministers and your church and your faith. You keep bringing your first fruits to God. You stay faithful even in the fiercest of conditions. Don't you never stop following Him. You've come too far. You've been lost, and now you've been found. Why get lost again? And again, don't let that fire go out. You have a God who is in the fire. He's in the fire. He's right. It's that simple. He says to the priest, meanwhile, no matter what happens, you keep that fire burning by putting fresh wood on it every day. We try to live in the past. The former church is gone. There is no Brookville Baptist Church no more. It ain't coming back. We have a responsibility now to provide for and protect and promote this ministry. It is the Lord's work that we have been charged and given the responsibility to promote. God ain't concerned about the name of the church. It's whose name the church is, and it's his. He said, this is my house, and it will not be tarnished. No man, no woman can take my glory. And so I want to encourage you today. I pray I got to every hand. I pray, Brother Melvin, God bless you. I didn't get to you. Kirk, I didn't get to you. I think Adrian's back there. I'm sorry. God bless you, Sister Anderson. I got to get to all of the babies, because if we cover the head of the house, we got to cover the house. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Did I Miss Chris Jr., did he have to go? Okay, we'll cover them. So here's what I want you to do. Four things. First fruits. Following faithfully. Following to the finish. And not letting the fire go out. Try to remember those four things and keep asking God to minister to you in those areas of your life. Because this ain't about picking on nobody. This is about picking up everybody. Because we don't want anybody to perish. And God's going to bless you real good. God's already blessed you real good. Y'all look like a blessing. When I touched every hand, I didn't feel anything negative. I felt the power of God in every hand. I felt abilities and possibilities and potential. I felt promise. And so God bless you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, these four things that we have talked about, these four things, Lord, that have convicted us, caused us to consider ourselves, not for the eye of man, but because the eye of the Lord watches us. You know, Lord, what we've hidden. You know what we've concealed. There are two things there, Lord. Some things are hidden and some things are only concealed. Hidden things need to be found. Concealed things need to be revealed. And so, God, help us today. Help us because we are incapable of this kind of help by ourselves. We have decided that we will yield ourselves, that you will minister to us in truth. What the world may think about us or thinks it knows about us can be the greatest lie we try to tell in heaven. We try to dress our part and speak our part and sing our part and preach our part. But now, God, bring truth. Bring truth. Because only truth will make us free. The man of God said to us the other night that a change was going to take place in this church. I am convinced, Lord, that these four convictions avail us to that change. Our fruits, our faithfulness, our following, and the fire. It's not complicated to us. It's right there in front of us. And the word declares that these are they that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. These are they that made it, because we met four standards and didn't disqualify ourselves. So forgive us, Lord, where we've messed up. Get us in line so we don't miss out. And we will remember that the glory belongs to you. And for the absent part of our discipleship, Lord, today, let us go as messengers tell a dying world about a risen and loving Christ who indeed has looked beyond our faults to meet our every need. Thank you, God, today in the name of Jesus. Heal those who are sick. Recover those that have lost their sight. Oh, God, bring strength to the lame. And God will be very mindful. Give you all the praise and the glory. Grant us your traveling mercies. Grant us safety during this holiday period. And God, bring us back together again real soon. So much so that there won't be room enough to turn to the left nor to the right. In Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Look at your neighbor whose hand you're holding and tell him, I agree.